Cork on claiming a last gasp win over Gary Owen last night to clinch the Munster Senior Cup. 9-6 is how it finished, but in controversial circumstances. The Irish Independent's Cian Tracy's been speaking to Joe about the game.
Yeah, unfortunately for those of us that were there, I think the end really was the only exciting part of the game. It was a fairly dour contest played in tough conditions, but yeah, basically Con were camped in their own 22, Gary Owen were applying pressure. Con turned over the ball, broke out, a good recovery tackle between, we'll say, the 22 and the halfway line, and there was a break in play for the line out to be taken. Okay. Gary Owen officials came on and were given the water and everything, and as he was strolling off, the referee appeared to signal for a free kick, and then a second later he put his hand up for a penalty. Now at the time, no one in the stadium knew what was going on, because it was quite unclear. Like, nothing seemed to happen. The players, both sides, it must be said, were completely baffled by what was going on. Only from talking afterwards, it seems that the ref had warned a Gary Owen official already not to be slowing down the line-out. And after giving the warnings, he said that he would give a penalty, although Gary Owen disagreed with that and said that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
So the ref gave a penalty and upstepped Chris Quinn, and he fired it over, which was the last kick of the game in extra time to hand Con the title. But yeah, it was certainly late drama.
Yeah, there must have been war at the final whistle, though, was there?
Yeah, like, to be honest with you, it was the place was in a state of shock, because no one knew if there had been like foul language or something used against the ref.
Okay.
But because there was no incident, we'll say the lineout was almost being ready set. James Rayle had the ball in his hands, getting ready to throw the ball in, and the ref just took control of it, and it was absolutely bizarre.
Yeah, and like, did you notice the officials on the field a lot towards the end of the game, or did that stand out to you at all over the course of the game?
The ref, I mean, the conditions were atrocious, and in the first half he was very picky. It was very stop start, and you know, for a game like that, he could have let it flow a bit more. Now, to be fair, it improved in the second half and in extra time. It was much more free flowing, but it was just, I mean, I'm not sure in hindsight if the referee would have done the same thing. I've had to dig out my rule book as well to have a look at it. And what it says is, under the IRB's rule 10.2, time wasting, a player must not intentionally waste time, and the sanction is a free kick.
Okay.
So that's a player wasting time. Now, the Gary Owen players weren't wasting time. It was the official, apparently, who was the one who was penalised. Now, obviously, there's nothing in the rule book about what the sanction for an official is, but from all my years going to rugby games, I've never seen anything like it. And even afterwards, from speaking to Tom Tierney, the Gary Owen manager, former Munster player, he'd never seen anything like it either.
Yeah, well, what was his mood? I suppose it wasn't very good, obviously.
It wasn't very pretty. I spoke to both managers after the game. Obviously, Tom Tierney was gutted. He was pretty fuming, say the least, about the decision. But I mean, I think he was still in shock, because he said he tried to ask the referee what his decision was, but the referee wasn't too forthcoming in giving an explanation. But speaking to Tom O'Cahy then, you know, he says that from what he understood, that Gary Owen were given several warnings about time wasting, and he felt that they were trying to slow the game down. It's probably worth mentioning that had the game finished at 6-6, the title would have went to Gary Owen because of the first point scored. Obviously, there was no try scored, so that ruled that out. So it went down to who scored the first points of the game, and that was a Gary Owen penalty. So Gary Owen might have been trying to waste on the clock, but I mean, I think a free kick would have been the right decision. But to give a penalty in a kickable position, it was pretty harsh, in my opinion.
Yeah, like you said, like, obviously Chris Quinn, his kick was to win the game, and if he'd missed it, they would have lost it. Well, they would have drawn, but they would have lost the cup. Tell us about the kick. Like you said, it was quite kickable. Where in the pitch was it, and how were conditions?
It was between the 22 and the halfway line, so it was about 35 metres. It was a fair distance out, and from speaking to Tom O'Cahy afterwards, he was telling me that the club only realised 2 weeks ago that Chris Quinn was actually a kicker. So, I mean, for him to step up, he'd already missed the kick earlier in the game. Darragh Lyon started on the kicks, and he missed his first one, which was pretty much a sitter in front of the post, and he kicked two more, but then he missed another couple, so they put Chris Quinn on the kicks, and he, after missing his first one, he showed great ball to step up, it has to be said, because it wasn't an easy kick, especially given the slippery conditions, but he absolutely nailed it, and as I said, it was the last kick of the game, and had he missed it, it was all over, and it would have been Gary Owen's title.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose just over the course of normal time and extra time, was there any kind of opportunities for either side where they could have or maybe should have won the game
There were very few try scoring opportunities in the whole game, which is bizarre considering we played 80 minutes and then 10 minutes each half in extra time. Both teams put up good defensive display, but there wasn't too much attacking flair on show, unfortunately. But Gary Owen's Jamie Gavin had two penalties in the first half of extra time where you would have expected your kicker to kick them, and they actually came both in a minute. His first one hit the post and it came back, and Con were penalised for holding on at the following ruck, and he stepped up again, and unfortunately for his side, he pulled his kick wide, and I mean, Gary Omer left to rue those two missed kicks, it has to be said.
Yeah, I suppose like Con left it very late last year to win it as well, and the late drama this year as well. I suppose that's great for Tom Mulcahy coming in there. A tough job to take over, but to get a cup so early in the season, a great start for him. He must have been over the moon.
Yeah, he was delighted. I mean, Connor in mid-table in the league, and I'm sure they'd be hoping for better. And it was impressive. In fairness, I mean, having someone like Jerry Hurley to come into the side, you know, he's a class above the rest, and his cool head, you know, at times there, especially in extra time. He was putting box kicks in, putting Gary Owen, the pressure back in Gary Owen, and he was instrumental in their play, and he was delighted to have someone like Jerry Hurley to call upon. He was crucial.
The Big Red Bench on Cork, sort of fam, that's Cian Trace there of the Irish Independent, speaking about the controversial scenes at the end of the Munster Senior Cup final last night between Corcon and Gary Owen. Corcon winning 9-6, but in controversial fashion, as Cian just mentioned. Going to switch attention to Gaelic games now, and as 2013 draws to a close, we're hoping for a successful 2014 for the footballers and hurlers of Cork. So as we look ahead, we decide to speak to the managers of both intercounty teams. The hurlers had a brilliant year, reaching the All-Ireland final. They hope to go one step further next year. To talk about the players, dual commitments, changes in coaching and more, Josie speaking to Cork boss Jimmy Barry Murphy.
Well, just taking it easy, I suppose, since the All-Ireland replay, it was a long year for the players and for ourselves, but more so for the players. But a lot of lads have been back doing some work in the gym since, and just getting ready for the new year now.
Have you actually had much contact with the players, or do you kind of just let them off to do their own thing for a few months?
We left them off, sure, really, because they're involved with their clubs, most of them, both in senior and under 21. So we just watch the games and see if we find anyone new for the panel, and we're just going to review everything over Christmas now, and after the team holiday, they're going team holiday late December, so early January back training and back into swing for National League in February.
Yeah, what do you make of the closing rounds of the county championship?
It was very, very good. I thought very good championship this year. You know, some very good games, and in fairness to Middleton, I thought that they fulfilled their promise they've shown for the last couple of years with their underage players. So from that point of view, it was very good games, and the senior hurling league sponsored by Red FM as well. Very good games, and I thought there were plenty of good performances in it.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose the Middleton team and a lot of young players there, and a lot of young players in the Saras team as well. I suppose that's great to see.
That's right. It's very encouraging, and it's great to see young players coming through and showing the form in senior hurling that they showed over the past couple of years at underage level. So hopefully now that we will be able to build on that and find a couple more players for the panel next year.
Yeah, you mentioned the Red FM Senior Hurling League there. I suppose I've been talking to Sars and Pearshig and all the teams that made the knockout stages, and they've spoken about players who went on to play intercounty for them started out in the league, and I suppose 97% of the games were played this year, so that's great for young players around Cork as well, I guess.
Yeah, it's vital, and I think it's vital for the club teams that they get regular games. It's something I'm very conscious of, because I know in clubs sometimes the club player can be very much neglected, and in Cork we try and facilitated where possible, and we try and release as many players as possible for league games with their clubs, and that's very, very important. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time, a good number of our panel might not be playing many games with us, so it's vital that they get games with their clubs and keep playing, and so we can get them shown a bit of form and maybe pick them for the team then when they get the chance they can play to their potential.
Yeah, I suppose just to talk about the county final, obviously Conor Lehan, the standout performer, how highly did you rate his performance? Have you seen much like that before?
I was brilliant, in fairness. But I mean, we all know Conor's been a sensational talent from his underage days at Middleton. And, you know, you just hope that a player can kick on from that and show that senior level. But, you know, over the past 2 years, he's been brilliant for us at the county level as well. And, you know, some days, you know, it takes time for a young player to really blossom. But I'm thrilled now that Conor has done that and starting to show his potential. And hopefully he can go on to greater things even with Cork.
Yeah, I suppose the thing about that, scoring 2-10 in a county final, he's really been thrust into the limelight in a huge way. And I suppose expectancy is going to go up as well. Is that something you've spoken to him about or you will speak to him about?
Yeah, well, we don't say too much to him about it. Because, I mean, with young players, you'd want to fill their head with too much stuff like that. I mean, it's just a matter of encouraging all of them, hoping that they can play to their potential. And I suppose I made a point the other day to somebody that young players coming into the Cork team at the moment, it's difficult enough because you're coming in on the lack of success on the age level. So there's a lot expected of them fairly fast, and expectations can be high then from the public as well as from ourselves. So we've got to be careful not to burden them too much with that and encourage them rather than be critical of them. And it's something I'm very, very conscious of, you know.
Yeah, I suppose just to talk about individuals, Tom Kenny retiring from the intercounty scene, I suppose, was that disappointing to see him move on?
I was disappointed to see Tom going, yeah. He was a very good part of the panel, contributed greatly over the last 2 years, and while I was involved in him, it was a pleasure to be involved with. And, you know, players of experience are hard to get, and he was a model professional in that sense, and that he trained brilliantly, he minds himself, a great example to younger players. But, you know, in fairness to Tom, he had a long career and he felt he couldn't quit for another 12 months, and, you know, it's very understandable. So, sorry to see him go, but at the same time, you know, a great career, and, you know, wishing the best luck in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose he would have been one of the leaders in terms of, I suppose, personality and on the field. Did you feel last year you saw some players emerging in terms of their leadership qualities?
I think so, yeah. I mean, certainly over the whole series, you saw in the replay, in particular, players like Christopher Joyce and Stephen McDonald, they really came to the fore and took the game to Clare when our backs were to the wall, really. And, you know, they were players that had been, you know, not big names, you might say, but really starting to develop personalities themselves. And, you know, Danny Carney also, for the whole year, was outstanding at midfield, was locked in the same. These are players who wouldn't have been as well known as some of the others, and I thought their leadership qualities were excellent, and we couldn't have done any more for us, in fairness to them.
You mentioned you'll probably sit down over the next few weeks and kind of finalise the squad and the panel for 2014. Should we expect a lot of new faces in there?
Just at the moment, I wouldn't expect an awful lot of new faces. We think we have most of the players in the panel already who are, you know, good enough to be on the panel for Cork, if you know what I mean. So we hope to find two or three more, hopefully, that would strengthen the panel and increase competition for places. That's what we want to try and do. And, you know, I'm really excited about it. I think we've got to work even harder than last year. We've got to, you know, get our fitness levels even higher than I've done. And Dave Matthews has been brilliant for us over the last 2 years. And I know, talking to Dave, he thinks there's even more room for improvement with some of the players. And we're going to demand that we even raise the bar higher for the players to get to that supreme level again.
Yeah, great. That's great to hear. I suppose just to mention Aidan Walsh, he's available to you this year. I spoke to Brian Cuthbert earlier today and he spoke about how yourself and himself have to kind of figure out how to manage this situation. How do you feel it's going to work going forward?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of players involved who have expressed interest in trying to play both games. And as you know from covering the games, you know it yourselves and going to all the games, it is difficult. But we're going to, in fairness to Brian Cuthbert, he's been brilliant with us so far in relation to trying to work out a schedule. If the players want to do that, I mean, it is difficult, but if the player wants to try, we want to try and facilitate them to do that. And just my job at the end of the day, same as Brian's is to get the best team out in the field. So we were going to try and work out where we can work with dual players who want to try to play both. And I'm very, very excited about that. I hope we can do that.
Yeah, well, would you welcome the likes of Owen Cadigan and Damien Cahalan over to the hurling?
Certainly, we're going to explore every avenue, you know, and talk to Brian again over Christmas and those players and see whether they're, you know, can find the time to try it. Because, I mean, some players might feel, you know, last year Owen felt it was very difficult to do both games and he wanted to try solely football for the year. And we perfectly understood that. And, you know, going back my own time, I even did that myself. So, but certainly, we're going to talk to all the players and to the football management and see if we can accommodate the players who want to try and play both games. So we welcome anyone, really, Joe, who's willing to try that.
No, I suppose, like the lads who've been mentioned over the last few months are Aidan Walsh, Damien Cahalan and Owen Cadigan. I suppose if you added them to the squad that was there last year, that would look good for 2014, wouldn't it?
Yeah, certainly. Anyone that has strength of the panel. I mean, obviously, Kieran Sheehan was not a player that we would have been interested in, but he's gone to Australia, you know, and he's going to be a big loss for the football as a predictor. But, you know, I mean, any player like that would be a bonus to the panel. And again, as I say, my job is to get the best team up in the field for Cork in the Championship. That's what I intend to doing. And if we can accommodate the players who are willing to try this, because it is difficult, and we don't want to you know, blunt the players either, so that they can't play at either game at their peak ability. That's the problem. I think we can, with goodwill, it can be done, and hopefully we can work it out.
Absolutely. Just in terms of coaching, Kieran replacing Jura as the main coach, how much does that actually change things?
Well, won't change really at all. I mean, Kieran has done quite a bit last year with the lads as well, and I'm very hopeful that, you know, he'll do a brilliant job. I know Kieran very, very well. Jared did an excellent job for us, but couldn't quit for another 12 months, so I'm thrilled that Kieran will be a fantastic addition, and very looking forward to really working with him and the players and getting the max out of him again.
Yeah, well, you'll be a bit more hands on yourself as well.
I think so, yeah. Kieran has asked me, I've asked him to do the coaching, whatever he wants me to do, more hands on if he wants me to do that, I'll certainly do that, and hopefully I'll pick up something over the years so I can impart to the players. And working with Kieran and Dave Matthews again, the other sectors, Johnny Crowley and Shawnee McGrath, we have a very good team, and hopefully we can just build them up like we did last year.
Excellent stuff. First game in the league, Division 1B, is February 15th versus Limerick. What's the plan between now and then?
It doesn't seem very far away, you know, all of a sudden. Just a good break over Christmas for the lads, recharge the batteries, come back from the team holiday and straight in training and ready for the 15th of February against Limerick on a Saturday night, who beat us in the Munster final. So it's going to be a great occasion for us. We're in Division 1B, as you know, so we want to try and do as good as we can, try and win the division if we can. So we'll go all out, try and beat Limerick in our first game at home, and again look for a huge crowd of support on the night.
Yeah, what are your thoughts now in Division 1B, the fact that the kind of knockout system has been worked out and there'll be quarter finals and all that? What are your thoughts on it now?
I think it's fine. I'm delighted with it. We're looking forward to it. We've got Limerick at home in the first game. It's as tough a game as you get in any division. So we'll try and win that, and we'll take from there. We've also got Offaly and Wexford at home, and we're away to Antrim and Leash. So it's a tough campaign, but like, we're hoping to really, as I said, our aim was to build on last year, raise the bar again for the lads and demand even more. And they want to demand more themselves, I know that. But they're not happy. We didn't win anything last year. We want to try and win something next year.
Big Red Bench on Cork, FM, that is Cork boss Jimmy Barry Murphy there speaking to Joe about the year they had and the year that is to come. Still to come, we'll be talking to Brian Cuthbert about 2014 and lots of other stuff besides. We'll also be talking Rebelogue with Hamilton High School. All to come to you now on 7 on the Big Red Bench.
Red FM's Big Red Bench. Red FM. The Big Red Bench. Chill Insurance. Proud sponsors of Cork GAA. Chill Insurance. We'll take it from here. Cork's Red FM.
So we are going to continue with Gaelic games and move on to the footballers. Brian Cuthbert at the helm after being named as Conor Coonahan's successor a few months back. It hasn't been an easy start, with a number of retirements and Kieran Sheehan's move to Aussie Rules. To talk about all of that and more, Joe sat down with Brian earlier today.
To be honest now, the last few months, just since we spoke last, I've been extremely busy. As people know, we've had a lot of changes to the backroom team, we've had a lot of changes to the squad. That obviously entailed meeting an awful lot of people. I like to think that you know, that there's a huge sense of newness about what we have now, and there's a huge challenge ahead of us. And I think you know, the reaction from the squad has been very, very good. They've worked very, very hard on all the things we've asked them to do. They're training very, very well. And I think you know, outside that, really, I don't really take much heed into what anyone else thinks, to be honest. It's completely, you know, we're almost in a bubble, to be honest, and it's completely, once that bubble is self-sufficient and is surviving fine, then I'm happy.
On the retirements, I suppose a lot of the supporters were surprised there were so many. Were you surprised yourself?
No, I wasn't. I've said to a number of people now, you know, I kind of had the sense last year when working with Conor that there was kind of a sense of unfinished business with a lot of players, and they were going to have, you know, they gave everything they had to win the All-Ireland last year and came up short against Dublin. But I kind of guessed, you know, from conversations and from little bits we were picking up, that they, you know, it was going to be last year for a lot of the players. And to be fair to the players, I don't think they made any move until, you know, out of respect to whoever was going to be appointed into the process. They wanted that to finish up, and and then you know, they had all decided that they had given enough for, and they couldn't give any more. And you know, as I say all the time, Joe, that we, those guys are Cork nothing. They've given everything they have to the jersey and more. And a lot of the characteristics that they brought to the party, we'd like to hang on to them and to build on them. And certainly, you know, I wish all those guys the very best.
Yeah, like, I've spoken to a few of the current players, like, who are still in the Cork squad, and they spoke about the kind of, I suppose, the experience they gained from the lads who have retired. And, like, I suppose you'd be hoping the lads who are left will kind of carry on in terms of leadership and all that, where the guys have left.
Absolutely, yes. And I think if you look at the group of older players that are left, and you call them older now, most of them are 26, 27 now.
Yeah.
Dunica obviously is a bit older than them, but what you have left is a nucleus of a very, very experienced group, a group who have tasted success in 2010, who know what it takes to win, and are still in a position, you know, I think, being honest about it, still in a position to put themselves in the frame for doing very, very well this year. And I think there's going to be a big expectancy on that group to lead the group we have now forward, because we have 7 or 8 guys who are under 21, maybe another 6 or 7 who are 22. Mm. We have a small group then who are 23 or 24 who won a 21 All-Ireland a couple of years ago, and then you have that group of 26, 27 year olds who had been around the block now for a while, and as I say, there'll be big demands placed on them, but I'm sure they'll be able to handle it, you know.
Obviously the lads who retired, they were kind of, I suppose, in terms of Gaelic football, they were pushing on a bit, but Kieran Sheehan's move to Australia, how big a blow is that?
It's a huge blow, obviously enough. Look, I would have the belief, along with many others, that Kieran on his day is one of the best players in the country. He came to me very early on after my appointment and said, I suppose a couple of days after the Aussie rules finish, or the compromise rules finish, that he had an offer to go to Australia, and what do they think? And he was very straight out about it and very straight up, and I said to him, it's an opportunity that he couldn't turn down. He was there when he was 18, it didn't work out for him, but he always had the longing to go back. Mm-hmm. I think he's in a position now to go back. He's a degree behind him, and he's he's maturer and older, and it's something he really, really wants to do. And I just said to him, look, I wish him the very, very best of luck, but obviously, like any Cork supporter, I'm longing for the day that he'll come home. Yeah. In another way. And I'm sure, look, from the conversations I had with Kieran, I'm sure at some stage that he's going to put back on the red jersey again, and hopefully he'll be, after a couple of years as a professional athlete, at that stage, and he's going to be a person who'll be unstoppable for opposition.
Absolutely. Just your backroom team has been confirmed since we spoke as well. Ronan McCarthy, Owen Sexton, Dan Davis and Kieran O'Sullivan. How many times have you met up a lot since it's been confirmed, and what's the feeling among you?
Since the 8th of December we've been training away. We've had a couple of gym sessions before that, and we've had numerous meetings, obviously. I think it's a very exciting backroom team in terms of the selectors. The four lads that I went after all bring huge attributes to the setup. They're all very, very experienced players. They're all great players for Cork. I think they're the type of players that in terms of what I'm trying to do, they certainly would have a sense of what we're trying to do, in terms of they're people that the supporters always kind of admired and stuck and looked at and say I'm proud to say that they're Cork footballers. And I think that's kind of what we're trying to do with the team we have now as well, is get people to look at them and say, yeah, there's a lot of the attributes there that I would associate with being from Cork. I think the selectors that we have embody all that. They played with their heart and their sleeve, and they certainly weren't lacking in skill. The four of them would have been great Cork players, and they have a lot of knowledge. I think even from the times they've been together, you'd even see the way the current group of players would look at them, and they have huge admiration for them, because they all remember them playing. When Kieran or any of the lads, Dan or Owen or Ron, gives a bit of advice, it certainly is going to be well taken.
Do they have any extra responsibility outside being selectors? Will they get involved with coaching and all that as well?
Yeah, well, Ronan is the coach, and the other three lads then, they would have a group each then, and they work away with them outside of training nights. They'd be on the phone to them, and they'd be talking to them, and they'd be doing a bit of video analysis with them, and basically what we're trying to do is give every member of the panel an opportunity to liaise with one of the backroom team, and that every week that he'd get to talk to that person, and that they'd have opportunity to develop their game.
Yeah. Have you looked at sports psychologists and extra fitness guys and stuff like that yet?
Our standing condition coach is Anlo Carlon. He's a gym up in Donnybrook there, Ockley Health and Fitness, and he has been absolutely superb. He's taken over the mantle from Aidan O'Connell, who was an absolutely brilliant person. But Anlo has done extremely well in the couple of weeks we've been together. The players are reacting to him really, really positively, and we're working very, very hard. I'll say that I'm a huge believer in, I know Dublin have about 35 or so on their backroom team, but I'm a huge believer in keeping things simple. I haven't flooded the backroom team with a huge number of people. I think we I think we have about maybe 13 or 14 in total. But I am also a huge believer in adding value. And I want every single person in the backroom team to be working flat out, but adding value to the group. And very, very clear on their roles and everybody, you know, moving forward in the one direction. I think with a huge group of people, I think that can be quite difficult at times. You already have over 30 players, and plus if you had another 20 backroom teams, sometimes they'd be tripping over each other a bit. But we have a full medical team backed up by Dr. Comerfee. We have a full strength and conditioning team, and that has other people working under him. Anything that we need is at our fingertips. But I'd like to think that we have enough experience and enough personnel around the group to satisfy all the needs that the players may have. But at the same time, I the simplicity to everything we do, I think, that's very, very important.
You've obviously seen a lot of players over the last while, and you'll see them over the next few weeks and months as well. What's that been like, kind of unearthing new players and calling new players into the panel? Has it been a tough process?
No, not really, because I suppose we're looking at the fact that there's a very structured pathway in terms of getting into the Cork Senior Football Team and getting into the squad. And our own 21 setup has, I'm speaking the truth here, obviously, it has been, second to none. Yeah. We have a lot of players coming through over the last number of years. The minors have been going quite well. Some years better than others. But I would have, along with the other selectors, would know all of these guys, who they are and what they can do. And when I look at the group now, it is, it's top heavy with younger players, but at the same time, there's a huge demand on the older guys to bring these guys along very, very quickly.
Yeah.
But I suppose when I do look at the group, I actually am very, very excited with it, because there's a sense of unknown in terms of how far we can go. And how long it's going to take. But certainly when I do look at the group, I see real excitement, I see pace, I see football coming out their ears, I see enthusiasm, I see loyalty, respect. They're very, very close friends. And I see the challenge for me is an integration of maybe two or three very successful Cork groups over the last 3 or 4 years, and marrying those together now. And you're looking at the 2010 minor team, I think the 2009 under 21 team, and then you have the 26, 27 year olds who've already won All-Ireland with Cork, and marrying those three groups together is a challenge, but at the moment it seems to be seamless enough, to be honest.
Is there a sense around the newer players, so that like how big an opportunity is, because I mean it's a new management, new selectors, a new setup, and they may not get a chance like this for maybe a long time again.
Yeah, I suppose. Look, to be fair to these new players who've come in, I think every one of them is the same as every one of us, in the fact that when they're 5 or 6 years of age and they're down on the pitch and they're kicking around, they're imagining that they're playing with Cork, and then the chance comes, and I think they can see, that their efforts will be rewarded, and the best guy, whoever is in form, is going to be picked regardless if he's played with Cork for 5 years or if he's just starting out. And that brings its own edginess to a group, and it brings, in a good way, and it brings the best of everybody to the fore. And everybody, I can see it at the moment, even in the conditioning that they're doing and the fitness work they're doing and in the football they're doing, there's a huge buzz about trying to outmaneuver somebody else or outscore somebody else or to do one more rep than somebody else. And that's what I want to see in the group. That's what I want to see, a sense of absolute lack of entitlement for anybody. But at the same time, respect for teammate, and that by you pushing yourself to the max, you're actually bringing the group forward, and that's what's happening at the moment.
Yeah. When do you expect to kind of whittle the group down, though? Will that be the end of January, probably?
Yeah, it'll be before the National League starts. We'll have our group sorted, and I suppose at that stage, then the county championship will start in May, and if people will start raising their hand again, at that stage, we have a simple philosophy like that. If people are playing well enough, they're going to be brought in. Simple as that.
Yeah. I'll have to ask you about the dual player issue. Aidan says he'll play hurling as well this year, which is, I suppose, great for Jimmy Barry Murphy as well to have that option. There's been rumours about Owen Cadigan and Damien Callahan maybe playing hurling. Have you spoken to them about it at all?
Well, firstly, I suppose the issue with Aidan is not an issue for me, to be honest. Aidan has come to me at the very start of my tenure as manager, and he said, look, this year, because he's at home, he's out in Dublin, he would like the opportunity to go and play hurling if the hurlers wanted him. And we had a discussion about it, and I said, look, Aidan, if that's what you want to do, I'm not in the power, I don't own you or anything. I can't tell you not to do it. I said, in an ideal world, I'd love to be in a situation where I have all the players all the time, a la other counties. But at the same time, there has to be a respect for me of the traditions of the county and the fact that players want to play hurling and they want to play football. And, you know, when you see that and you look at the bigger picture and you say to yourself, right, can we manage this? And that's something that myself and Jimmy Ryan Murphy have been discussing. Can this be managed?
Sure it can.
I think we'll have to see, can it?
Yeah.
And I suppose that's the best approach we can take, both of us, is that can this be worked out? No, certainly there's a mindset from both of us that, you know, we'll do everything in our power to facilitate the players because the players want to do it. But at the same time, you know, it's been a while, I know, and played dual 2 or 3 years ago. But, you know, the game, in terms of backdoor games and more league games and league qualifiers on the hurling, you know, there's extra games everywhere, plus club championship games and more games. It will be a case of a bit of trial and error for a while, and if it's not working out, then both Jimmy and I are very realistic, and we'll just have to make a call on it. But certainly from both our points of view, there's an open mind in it, and we would, you know, to help Aidan along, we will help him along, you know.
Now, what about the two boys? Have they met any kind of intuition that they want to play both?
Damien's situation is that I'm not quite sure how soon in the season he's going to be back. He's just after a double hip operation.
Yeah.
He's just off crutches last week. So the furthest thing from his mind now is even, you know, thinking about trying to play hurling and football. I've spoken to a few times about the issue, and you know, it's a situation at the moment that Owen is training as hard as he can train, and if opportunity comes his way, if, you know, and we need to have a discussion, we'll have a discussion, but right now that discussion hasn't taken place.
Okay. McGrath Cup, I suppose this is the start of it now in January the 5th against LIT. What do you want to get out of the competition this year?
I suppose firstly we're minus 15 or 16 of our squad due to the fact that they're playing with different colleges around the country in the Auburn Cup and in the McGrath Cup. We've got 3 or 4 guys who were injured, so you're down 20 players before we start.
Yeah.
So then you said to yourself, right, what do we do from here? What it leaves us though is a big opportunity to give the older players who've been on the squad for a long time games running right up into National League, please God, if we get through 3 or 4 rounds of it.
Yeah.
And it also gives us an opportunity to bring in another 13 or 14 players that we can look at in those 3 or 4 games and see, can they challenge for a position when we sit down to select the squad for the National League at the end of January. So I think marrying those two things together is a huge opportunity for us, and it's a huge opportunity for the next 10 players outside our training squad. So I think, you know, if any guy shows his hand in that and plays well, then he's going to give himself opportunity. And I suppose for the older guys, it gives them a run of games, which sometimes, you know, and they're not even old players, if they're 27 or 28. You know, sometimes these players need a run of games prior to the league starting. And I think that's what we're looking at it as.
Great stuff. Brian, happy Christmas and best of luck next year.
Not a matter, Joe. Thank you.
Big Red Bench on Cork, so I found Cork football boss Brian Cuthbert there speaking to Joe Mills. Heard Jimmy Barry Murphy before the break as well. And some interesting stuff on the whole aspect of players playing both hurling and football, Joe.
Yeah, like obviously the Aidan Walsh story was confirmed, was it a month or 6 weeks ago or even a bit longer ago, that he's going to be available to both the footballers and the hurlers next year. And the other two names that have been mentioned all along, well, I suppose since last year, is Damien Cahalan and Owen Cadigan. And just from reading between the lines from both guys there, it looks like if either want to play both, the managers will try to facilitate it. So I guess it's now down to Owen Cadigan. I suppose, well, Damien Cahalan, like Brian said there, he's got a big recovery ahead of him after a double hip operation. Like, that is insane. A guy who's 21, 22 years old to have had a double hip operation. So he's got to recover from that first and then make up his mind. But I suppose it's up to Owen now in the next few weeks to decide whether he wants to go play both. But
if I was a betting man, I would say that Owen Cadogan will be hurling next year.
Excellent stuff. Right, Hamilton High School Bandon are the winners of this month's Rebel Oak Award. The awards are designed to celebrate the achievements of underage teams and individuals around the city and county. Cork's Red FM are proud media partners to the awards. And the awards are held down in the Royston Park Hotel earlier on in the week and sponsored as well by Cumann Sports and the Irish Examiner. Now, Hammy's won the O'Callaghan Cup and have qualified from a very difficult group in the Harty Cup earlier on in the week. We heard from Coach Aidan O'Donoghue and team captain Micheál McSweeney.
Yeah, it is a big achievement, right? Like, I suppose up to 2 years ago we were playing Senior B. You know, we were kind of holding our own, whatever. But we won the Under-16 that year or 2 years ago, so we came up Harty and we didn't even enter the Cannon Cup until this year.
Yeah.
So it was something new for us. So the way we were looking at it was to get out of the group. Get out of the group and Harty was the number one. And then take the Cannon Cup as a bit of a bonus, took it game by game, and we ended up winning, so it's fantastic.
I suppose last year must have had a huge kind of impact that so many of the team were still underage again for the Harty, and that they got the experience of playing at the top level. Yeah. And that they had that coming into this year then.
Yeah, huge experience from last year. Like, last year was worth its weight in gold to us. I don't know how many we last, I think it was about 5 we last off the starting team from last year. So there was, with the huge turnover of players coming from Nashville coming back in, so it was massive, huge experience gained.
And this group is probably like, it's a once in a generation thing for a school like the Hammies, really. Like, you're not gonna get superstars in every age group, so it's a case of just, you know, taking what you can with this group and maximising the potential.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I suppose if you kind of look at the Hammies traditionally, I say we kind of average one Cork minor every 10 years.
Yeah.
That'll be the traditional way that we'd roll. So we've 2 last year, another 2 this year, possibly, hopefully.
Yeah.
A couple more pushing as well. So like we've definitely 5 or 6 fellas of inter-county minor standard, which is totally and utterly unique to us. Like, so we've no choice, only try and make hay while we have those fellas.
And to be facing into a new year now, we're still involved in the school's competition, is just huge. And I suppose you don't want the Harty campaign to end at the quarterfinal stage.
No, we don't, but it's 15th of January now, that's our focus, Dungarvan. And you know, it's actually nice to be training over Christmas.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's something different and keeping the lads going, like, and we'll see where it takes us.
And just kind of on the school as a whole, like, I suppose the Hammies will have a tradition of kind of punching above its weight in all kind of aspects, like education wise and everything else, as well as sport.
Yeah, I suppose we would. We'd punch above our weight, right? And we like to think that about ourselves. And
it's kind of, I suppose, because the school is so small, it's more tight-knit maybe, or like, is there a reason for it?
Yeah, I suppose it's a tight-knit kind of a community in there. Like, I'd say catchment area around Bandon of about 30 miles.
Yeah.
Either side of all around Bandon. So we're only drawing really from, say, 6-7 clubs.
Yeah.
You know, so everyone knows each other, and everyone's well used to each other from playing each other in club games.
Yeah,
and everything.
Yeah.
You know, and it all comes together then when they put on the Hammy jersey.
And Micheál, like, it's going to be tough now to kind of hold off and socialising over Christmas and stuff.
I suppose I better say we'll take it handy, because Mr. Dunhu's here. Yeah, last 2 weeks especially before the game, I'd say after New Year's that'll be it. Fellas are well focused, because this is our aim now, try to get as far as we can in this, and hopefully, you know, we'll push on, because some of us will never get this chance to play the standard hurley again. So it's next to inter-county, second highest standard around the country, so hopefully, anyway, we'll
and like
go far.
When the draw was made for the Harty and the Hammies came out with a group of 5 and the other 4 teams were all past Harty winners, like, did you think that you could get out of it?
Our first reaction, anyway, was we laughed, because last year we got a horrendous group too with former All-Ireland winners, and it was just as hard as this year. But I say the experience from last year, we knew we could compete with the best, and we knew we could beat the best. And last year especially was an absolute huge bonus to us to have the confidence to drive on this year and believe that we could beat the top teams.
And for yourself as captain, like, do you find that brings extra responsibilities or duties or anything?
I've been going to enough of these awards now, yeah. I'm really seeing it now. But yeah, we we've many leaders in the group. It's not just me. There's people look up to, like, Mike Callahan and Trevor.
Yeah.
Like, there's 9 Sixers starting the team, so we're all well used to holding our own. We all look up to the two main fellas, Mike and Trevor, yeah, especially.
The Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM, and that is Micheál Mac Sweeney, team captain of Hamilton High School Bands, and their coach Aidan O'Donoghue there speaking after winning this this month's Rebel Ogue Award down the Rostrum Park Hotel earlier in the week, and congratulations indeed to them. We are almost out of time. Back tomorrow for 6. We'll have a lot more on tomorrow's show on the Premier League. Didn't really have time to talk about it tonight. Just a quick word on Suarez. Sum him up in 6 words.
I can sum him up in 8 stats. If you'd like
Johnny
to hear
stats here.
I know, yeah, Joey stats. The score.eu just put up a post about 8 incredible Luis Suarez facts after he's braced today. Luis Suarez is the first player in the Premier League history to score 2 plus goals in 4 consecutive games. He scored more goals than most of the Premier League. I think it's 5. He scored more goals himself than 10 teams have collectively, which is crazy. In total, Suarez has scored 29 goals in 26 Premier League games in 2013. He scored 10 more goals in 2013 than Robin van Persie. I'm not sure what that's in there. Suarez has now scored 10 goals in December alone, more than any Premier League player has ever managed within a single month. He's now scored 19 goals at Anfield alone in 2013. No other player has scored more than 19 overall in a Premier League year. Luis Suarez has 14 goals from just 6 appearances at Anfield this season, and he has 19 goals in total this season so far, as much as the Golden Boot winner Nicolas Anelka achieved in 08 and 09.
So to sum it up, not bad.
Grand, yeah, he's a decent player, right? Yeah,
he's doing alright, like.
The form he's in has just been, it's been incredible, and like, does he have to be talked about now in the same breath as Ronaldo and Messi? That's
and
the question.
Joe Harrington and Leisure World on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I did stick one into a corner the other
you
night.
You did, in fairness, yeah, it was top class.
And then you put a lot of pressure on me by telling your friends, pass the ball to Joe, he'll score. And I think, did I even score after that?
No, you crumbled under the pressure like an ox.
Yeah. Suarez is not crumbling under the responsibility, though.
Nice segue.
I know, and he's got the captain's armband as well. And what's really good, I suppose, for Liverpool fans about this is that they're doing all this without Steven Gerrard and Danny Sturridge, who would have been 2 of their key players earlier in the season. And the likes of Jordan Henderson seems to have flourished when Gerrard has been out of the team. And you would see that a little bit, wouldn't you? Like when the superstar is taken out of the team, it kind of gives breathing space for players who are trying to kind of maybe make the breakthrough. And that seems to be happening with Henderson, because his all-round game, like I think maybe the last 4 or 5 games, however long Gerrard has been out, I think Henderson's been outstanding. But Suarez is the man. And
and the most important stat as well, he got me 32 points in fantasy football today.
Yeah, do you know who got me points in fantasy football today?
Who?
One person, Ben Arfa, because most of my team is either injured or not playing. Daniel Sturridge is my captain, so
not great scenes.
Collecting points in the physios room for me there, so yeah, not great scenes at all. But Liverpool fans will be happy if Arsenal lose on Monday night or draw. Liverpool are top at Christmas, and it's been,
that hasn't happened since the 1800s, I'd say. Is it?
I think it was 08 when Rafa Benitez and you had the Torres, Mascherano, Alonso and all those players in the team. But I'm sure Liverpool fans are in good spirits at the moment.
Alright, that's our show for you tonight. Thank you for tuning our way. We're back tomorrow from 6. Steve's up next with Black on Red. Enjoy your evening, folks. Tomorrow at 6, we're back.